Hey there, friends. Welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. My name is Sean Bailey, and I'm grateful you're joining me today because we get to read God's Word together. The living Word of God. Straight from our Creator. Right into our ears and into our hearts. What an amazing privilege we have. And today we get to continue in this new leg we've started in this journey. And we're in Galatians. We'll be in Galatians chapter 2 today. Galatians chapter 2. And let's give a little bit of a recap for what we did in the previous episode, talking about Galatians and how it started for us so that we have the context we need to understand what we're going to see today. So, grab your Bible if you can and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's Word together. So in chapter 1, Paul introduces himself as an apostle. But not any apostle. Not an apostle that was appointed by humans through tradition. But instead, he was an apostle appointed through Jesus Christ and God the Father. And what he did is he was just blown away in the beginning of the previous chapter that the Galatians are turning to a different gospel, which he said is not a gospel at all. And so Paul would defend his apostleship and he would defend the gospel that he preaches. And then he emphasized that his message that he is sharing comes directly from revelation from Jesus Christ, not from human teachings. And then the chapter starts to set the stage for Paul's argument on the true gospel and his authority as an apostle. And he starts talking about his journey, gives his testimony. And we'll see a continuation of that in chapter 2. This chapter, we're going to see, deals with Paul's relationship with the other apostles and the issue of Gentile conversion to Christianity. So when we're in Hebrews, we talked a lot about Jewish converts to Christianity. This issue of Gentile, non-Jew, those folks that converted to Christianity. Here are the key events that we're going to look for today. So here's our three big look fors. The first thing to look for when we read our scripture in chapter 2 of Galatians is Paul's visit to Jerusalem. He's going to meet with the leaders of the early Christian church. And notice how his goal was to ensure that the gospel he preached was in agreement with that of the Jerusalem church. He ensures that the message is clear and accurate. And then there's this issue that comes up of circumcision. And that's our second look for. Of whether or not Gentile converts to Christianity needed to be circumcised, just as Jewish law expected. But notice how Paul argues this. And he says that faith in Jesus Christ is the basis of salvation, not some act on tradition. That's crucial, a crucial juncture for all believers. And then finally, as we read today, we're going to see Paul confront Peter, or Cephas, for him being a hypocrite. He is acting like a hypocrite. He's in Antioch, where Peter initially ate with the Gentile Christians, but then later felt pressure and decided he wasn't going to hang out with them anymore. Right? Due to pressure from Jewish Christians. So let's read the scripture and let's see these things take place and then see how we can unpack these further to find application in our lives. Here we are in Galatians chapter 2. We'll read verse 1 to verse 21. Verse 1, Galatians 2. Let's read together. And he's continuing his testimony and his story. And he says this: "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. I went up according to a revelation and presented to them the gospel I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those recognized as leaders. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek, a Gentile. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus in order to enslave us. But we did not give up and submit to these people for even a moment, so that the truth of the gospel would be preserved for you. Verse 6. Now, from those recognized as important, what they once were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to me. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter was for the circumcised. Since the one at work in Peter for an apostleship to the circumcised was also at work in me for the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, those recognized as pillars, acknowledged the grace that had been given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to me and Barnabas, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They asked only that we would remember the poor, which I had made every effort to do." Verse 11. "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. Then the rest of the Jews joined in his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas in front of everyone, 'If you, who are a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by birth, and not Gentile sinners. And yet, because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. But if we ourselves are also found to be sinners, while seeking to be justified by Christ, is Christ then a promoter of sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild those things that I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." And that is the end of Galatians 2. Pretty strong ending there, right? Galatians 2. Let's take a moment to process this and let's unpack it and see what God has for us today. And so, as we just read, some important things that jumped out at us is Paul's authority in the gospel that he is so adamant is effectively, correctly shared and followed through. Paul makes sure that they know his authority is from Jesus and that the origin of the gospel message is from the Lord. But watch the unity between Paul and the Jerusalem church leaders. They still have unity even though there's potential conflicts. And so they work together. Paul was very bold, but he wasn't bold in such a way that he hurt people, that he burned bridges in relationships between people. He knew how to keep relationships effective and be very diplomatic, but also be very bold at sharing the gospel. And it's important for us that we are able to defend the gospel, to stand for the gospel truth, and do it in such a way that we aren't forever burning bridges and not able to share the truth with others. And sometimes that line can be crossed. Stand strong for your faith, but do it in such a way that we speak the truth in love. And the second takeaway today I want us to maybe try to see a little bit better is this thing called justification by faith. And we saw today that Paul's argument is that people are justified by faith in Jesus, not by the works of the law. It's important that we understand that it is not anything we've done. That if anything, as that last verse that we read in verse 21, he says, "For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." Paul had a way to say things and made us listen, right? Righteousness does not come from us following a law, checking a box, and saying we did something right. That in itself, us saying that we did something to earn it, is contrary to the gospel. We know it's important that we stand by the true gospel and what the Word of God says. Christ died for the forgiveness of our sins. It's not anything that we done or we could do. We are justified by faith. And finally, Paul confronts Cephas, or Peter. Some translations will call him either way. But watch how Paul has this courage to confront him, who Peter was this pillar of the early church, and many had great respect for him. And so what he did, others modeled. They imitated. Well, Paul knew that, and Paul made sure that Peter knew that too. He called him a hypocrite. He said, "Look at all the others that you are scared to be around the Gentiles, because now that new Jewish folks are coming in, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, right? You stand strong for what the gospel says and not what tradition tries to pull you back on." Paul called him out. And it's easy for us to slip on that too. Well, it's important that we should regularly look at ourselves to ensure that our actions reflect our faith in Christ. Our actions are not hypocritical. We're broken and we mess up often, but the most important thing is that we understand that hypocrisy can really undermine our witness. If we keep a lens on our eyes to see ourselves how others may see us, because we are always ambassadors for the faith as believers, we need to make sure our actions reflect the true gospel and our faith in Jesus Christ. So we got to be honest to ourselves, especially about those things where we fall short. We've got to seek forgiveness and make changes to live more authentically as followers of Jesus. Let's do that today. Let's commit to being authentic followers. Let's find those things that we continue to slip up in. Maybe the words that come from our mouth. Those habits we continue to fall into. That gossip pit we might slide into. Those things that we know are not glorifying to God. Let's commit to fix those shortcomings and live more authentically as followers of Jesus. I love it. Paul does a great job stepping on our toes, doesn't he? That's what it's all about, though. We've got to be called out so that we can be corrected. Guys, thanks for listening to me today. Today, I love reading Galatians already, and I'm looking forward to chapter 3 with you. So, may you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And as a result, may you strive to be a blessing to everyone around you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.